Well, thank you, Evergreens. It's so good to know that our worth is not to be measured in terms of the house we have, the millions we have in the bank, or whatever things we have acquired in life. Our worth is simply in the Lord. And that must bring a word of comfort to us. But this morning, let's pray together as we seek the Lord's word. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand the significance of the prophetic scripture. And we pray that you will help us to understand this word. We pray for your blessings as we read your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, or next Sunday, we were going to have what we call a lighting of the candles. And the first one is always called the prophecy candle. What is this prophecy candle? Most of us don't really understand prophecy at all very much, if we are honest with ourselves. We read prophecy, but we have really, really no idea what that's all about. You know, and so we have two extreme ends of looking at prophecy. First, we don't understand. Two, we overinterpret prophecy. In the book of Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet Isaiah went to King Ahaz and he said these words to him. And this is quite an amazing word, actually. And so he said, verse 11, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. You can ask it either in the depth or in the heights above. If you want to see something in under the earth as a sign, God will give it. You want to ask something that is beyond this earthly life from heaven, God will ask it. And God will grant it. But you know what? King Ahaz had no understanding at all. And he said, I will not ask. Well, that's your unbelief. So with reference to prophecy, he didn't understand a word. So he's not interested. He couldn't care less. Right? Now, we have the other extreme. What's the other extreme? I just read a book on 9/11. And 9/11 is supposed to be the first of a series of prophetic harbingers that will take place. And they base it upon Isaiah as a prophetic word that says this was the first of all the prophecies that will be fulfilled, and it will, including the terrorists. It's prophecy on terrorists, prophecy on 9/11, and so on and so forth. And I read the book. Well, I had to read things that I don't like to read anyway, and it is a useless book. It's useless simply on the first reason that book, that prophecy that they stated as from Isaiah 9:10 was not a prophecy. It's a plain statement. And so we have both extremes. One, we don't understand prophecy. Two, we overinterpret anything and everything. I think those are the two extremes. Next Sunday, we light the beginning of the Christmas season, the prophecy candle. What is it all about? Most people don't read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, unless they have to. In this case here, I care, you have no choice. I'm writing Hosea, so can we read something else? No. You have no idea how wonderful prophecy really is. It is wonderful if we can understand it. But it's there for us to consider. Okay? So we're going to try to ask ourselves, what is prophecy with reference to Christmas? What is it all about? And let's try and understand this. So sometimes it is our lack of understanding It is our lack of faith that will prevent us from really understanding and appreciating the prophetic word. But if we can understand this along these lines, it will help. Okay? What is prophecy, actually? It is a simple word. It is just simply the plan of God revealed. Think of prophecy along these lines and you will understand this. To King Ahaz, you know, I think it says, we read Isaiah chapter 1 with me. In the first verse, we read, okay, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah. Can you see this? Concerning Judah is a pretty bland word. Concerning means nothing, you know, just about Judah. But when I read this text from the Septuagint, it was not concerning. It really means against Judah. Now that is very, very significant. So the prophecies of Isaiah were actually against Judah rather than just simply bland concerning Judah. Can you see this? So what is this happening is that prophecy is just simply the plan of God revealed so that we can understand the plans of God. Now that makes understanding it a little bit more palatable. It's easier to appreciate it. What's the plan? Okay? So sometimes when you have something, it's just like Dr. Wei Chim was mentioning about, you know, exercise a little bit for long-term benefit and things like that. Most cannot understand a plan. We think of exercise and that's it. You know, we buy equipment we never use. We all do that. I think we're all guilty of that. We just don't do the things that we need to do because we don't understand the plan involved. If only we can, it will help a great, great deal. Okay, so these are things that we want to consider very, very much. What is the plan of God? And the plan of God involved God sending a son. It will concern a very, very special son. In 7:14, we read. Okay, we read these words very, very clearly. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Well, that was the plan of God revealed. But Ahaz was not interested, so Isaiah did not explain it further. But there was a plan. There always is a plan, if we can understand it. I think this is something that we don't want to take for granted at all at any time. Okay, now we go all the way now to the book of Matthew chapter 1. Okay, in Matthew chapter 1, we have, and this is important, the plan of God has to be understood. Because if we don't understand the plan of God, we just can't figure it out. And so this was something that needed, and I call this a special awakening. Now, look at Matthew chapter 1. A text that we are so familiar with, we read it without any great meaning. But let's take a look at it very, very carefully. And we read. Okay? And look at verse 20. And we read, Joseph, can you see this? Now that's interesting. What do you read? Verse 20. Joseph, son of David. Wait a minute. Isn't Son of David a special title for Jesus? Why is Joseph called Son of David? See, he didn't understand the prophetic significance. That all those who bear this line, this name, actually, they have a place in God's plan. Now, we talk about prophecy. You know, prophecy actually involves placing people in different places. You know, I know what Dr. Wei Chin mentioned was true. In God's design, certain people are placed there for a reason. Joseph did not understand that he too was son of David, continuing the line. Until the son of David prophesied, predestined, would now fulfill that role. But that role was there. So in understanding prophecy, we have to ask ourselves, who are the persons involved? Places. Bethlehem was part of prophecy, place. Joseph, part of prophetic plan, he's going to be the father for Jesus. Can you see this? So all of these things, so when we look at prophecy, we have to look at how all these things will come together, and they all have a very specific area, a specific place to be fulfilled. But we need to understand this, because when we don't understand these things here, we cannot appreciate prophecy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. What does that mean? Don't understand. But if we understand it as prophecy, the first piece of the puzzle begins to be put in. The next part of it, what is it? What else is next? The next part of it is people involved. Joseph was involved. He's going to be a father. From him will come the line as well. Okay, now we turn to Luke chapter 1. Okay, and we turn to Luke chapter 1, and we see how an angel of the Lord came to Mary, and this is what the angel said to her. Okay, and this is important. And so Mary's part was involved too. So he had a part. So there's prophecy, and then we look at the placing of people. Joseph is there, Mary is there, and they're part of that prophetic word. See, prophecy becomes alive. There is a special awakening when we begin to realize that we are part of the prophetic plan of God. Does it make sense? Well, you say, well, you know, right now we're not Joseph, we're not Mary, how do we fit in? Well, let's move on further. The next part of the prophecy is that a prophecy always involves the power of God. We cannot make a prophecy. There was no prophetic word concerning our people being killed in Paris last weekend. You can't see this, right? So in Brussels this week, shut down all the metro stations. It's because they heard, let's take it seriously, prevent it. You see, we see human power at work. Either we are not prepared or we are over-prepared. Either way, we can't fit in. But prophecy involves a special, special power of God. And I think this is important for us to understand. And I appreciate what Wei-Chin and Li-Hua have experienced in having Asia. And I think this is something that we all understand and appreciate. What they shared with us a few years ago, you know, have stayed in the heart and the mind. This is why they are very dear to our hearts, because of what they've gone through, what they've shared. You know, to wait all these years for to be given a special gift from God. Now that we call the power of God at work. And it is important. When we look at prophecy, we see plan of God, we see people, places, and we see the power of God at work. And when we can see the power of God at work, it makes us understand what Christmas is all about. It's about God's prophetic plan revealed. It's about God's prophetic plan fulfilled. It's about God using different people to be at different places to fulfill what He came, that He wants to be fulfilled. And when we understand this part of it, then we begin to understand and appreciate the significance of the Christmas story. Because it's still the same. The plan of God is still there. The people involved are still there. Can you see this? I mean, this is such a joy to know. How do we understand and appreciate and apply this concept at all? And I think that this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. You know, it's really rejoicing in the Lord and what He has given to us from His Word concerning Christmas. On the 13th December, SSS 4, my Sunday school class, will be celebrating Christmas together, 13th December. They say, well, what's there to celebrate if we don't have Christmas? Because we do have Christmas. And I was pleasantly surprised to hear that not only do we have about 60-something people in class, virtual students, we have over 60 people too. Now, if you are a virtual student, or you just want to have dinner, you are very, very welcome to have this dinner with us to celebrate together. You see, it's part of sharing the joy. It's part of teaching the scriptures. You know, sometimes out of the blue, we have people who write to me, and one person wrote to me, two people actually from US, and both of them, one is a pastor, one is, well, his own website, and so they wrote, can we incorporate your Sunday school teachings in our website? And I said, of course, go ahead, do that. Just last week, one person wrote to me, her name is called Betty Slusher, and she wrote to me and she said, you know, I hear that you got this parenting by the book. See, most of us, well, not most of us, but some of us have this book, but they are doorstoppers and they're just there. But this dear lady wrote and she said, you know, I am so committed to helping people bring up their children with the Word of God. Do you think I could have a copy of these things? Where can I buy it? So I wrote back and I said, no, I don't sell these books. They are just written. And then she got the book. She said, it took you 8 years to do this. Where did you write it? And she's so absolutely delighted. He says, can I give something towards it, for it? And I said, no. It's our joy to be able to share this. You see, it's part of that blessing. So God has a plan. And this plan is for the Messiah to be born. So Joseph has a part. Mary has a part. The power of God is involved. Now, what about people who believe in the Lord Jesus? Do we have a part too? And the answer is yes. We have a part as well. But my part is to write, perhaps. My part is to teach, perhaps. But everybody's part is to make this available to whoever wants to be, to receive this blessing and to be a part of. So this idea of Christmas, if you look at it very carefully, it becomes very, very significant. Here is, I don't know whether this lady knows where Singapore is. Most of them not so good in geography. They think that we are part of China. So I told them, if you go to China, you go down south, really all the way down south, you hit Singapore, you know? Because you go to keep on going south, we probably hit Singapore. But that's basic. They don't understand. But it doesn't matter. Here we are. We may be a tiny little red dot here, but we can be a source of blessing and encouragement to people out there. And this is important. If we can share this faith that we have with other people, then we are part of the prophetic plan. See, when God sent Jesus, He was meant to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7:14. And it's true. But how do we people know that truly God is with them? Unless we tell them. Unless we share. And every time we do that, that makes us, you know, part of God's plan. So that is the prophetic plan of God. And there are the places and the people there. That is the power of God. And we ask ourselves, what's our part if it is not Joseph and Mary? You have no idea how someone can be a blessing to somebody else, and that person can reach out to so many more people. And this is true. So from the two pastor friends in America, they are reaching out to people with the Gospel of Mark and the Greek text. From a virtual class, we have doubled the number of people in our Sunday school class. And we are looking at celebrating Christmas at Shangri-La, and whatever we receive from as an offering for the day, it goes all the way to extend the work in Myanmar and in India. You see, so we are all part of God's plan. And so the whole idea, behold, the virgin shall conceive, is not to be understood only in the context of Joseph and Mary, but to understand it in part of God's prophetic plan for the universe. We are involved. I think you are probably familiar with the UFOs and all the pictures from Mars. So now they are looking at the face of God in Mars. Another one is a Buddha in Mars. And there's a bear in Mars. There's a veritable zoo there now. And you can all kinds of things which are there. It's a matter of what you want to see, unfortunately. But we have the real stuff here. How do we celebrate Christmas? If we understand that Christmas began with a prophetic plan of God revealed and in Jesus fulfilled. And then there's a part for everyone, Joseph, Mary. There's a part for the shepherds. There's a part for every single person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be a part of God's prophetic plan as it was meant to be. So I really want to encourage all of us to say, you know, let's do something. First, personally, celebrate it. I think this is important. Personally, celebrate it. That's what we want to encourage people to do. So don't lose the excitement of it all. When Isaiah the prophet spoke to King Ahaz, he was totally unimpressed. When the angel spoke to Mary and to Joseph, both of them didn't understand either. But we do. We have the benefit of studying the whole lot together, and we can ask ourselves, what is our part? And to me, there's a huge part. That's a huge part for us to play. But first, we've got to get back on track. Let's go back to what it really means for us to be involved as part of God's plan. You know, every time I get a chairman to come and chair, I do not know whether they realize that one of the people they bless is me. Though I always look for the person who will bring a word, that will bring a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of uplifting to the heart. And I am always greatly blessed because of the life they live, because of the effort put in, because, you know, it's all part of all God's plan. And this is what's important. This is all part of God's plan. What is your part in God's prophetic plan? To be awakened to the joy and the excitement of Christmas that never ends. To understand that we can fulfill a part, whether it is a present for somebody. That's part of the joy. It really is part of the joy. And this is something that we want to be a part of. You know, it's something that we would like very, very much, Sunday school class. We call it a Sunday school class party, but it's for all our class. And as I said, anybody else would like to come in. And the class committee says, Pastor, we will have over 100 people coming on the 13th. And I said, please, let's do it. Well, I will be personally hosting it. I have been doing this, and I want to do this. But of course, it's my part. My part in celebrating Christmas, my part in being there as a teacher, my part in seeing how people want to come for this function, my part. What's my part? Why not? On 4th December, we're going to have a special dinner for all the people we see every Sunday, every weekend, cleaning up the church. Over 100 people too. What's my part? I will host the dinner as well. That's my joy. That's my part. You see, why should we not want to do that? That is our challenge. What is our part? So if I can understand the plan of God, if I can stand my place, if I can stand the power of God, and now I must ask ourselves, can I see my part? If I can see my part, you know what I want to do? I want to fulfill my part. I want to do everything I can to do my part so that I am part of God's overall plan. That's my challenge to us all as we prepare for the Christmas season. Let's play our part. So you haven't booked your table for Christmas, do it. And invite someone who will never be able to go there otherwise. Do it. I think that would be a wonderful thing. Share with people the joy of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Play your part. Let's pray together. This morning as we pray together, let's pray that our hearts will understand and respond to the challenge of this message. First, to understand prophecy as a plan of God. Next, to understand that, you know, you have a place. Maybe specific, maybe not so specific, but we have a part to play. And you can play your part well. And this morning, I'm going to encourage you to say, you know what? I'm going to make this Christmas special. Do something special. Our Father, we pray that as we seek to understand this message, you will help us to understand the challenge of playing our parts in your great prophetic plan to share the news about Jesus as God with us. We pray that you bless us as we take time to ponder this word. Bless this offering now that we give. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's give a love gift for the Lord's word. Once again, reminder to those who are thinking about the YG Youth Conference retreat, please sign up today. Okay, those of you who are planning to come for the SSS4 Christmas function, 13th December, 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, followed by dinner, please consider signing up. Okay, I would be very happy to include you are in this program. Okay, remember next Sunday we are going to have only one combined service right here, same time in the morning. There will be no evening worship service at all. Right? Well, let's look forward to a wonderful time this Christmas. Make it special. Fulfill your part in God's plan. I think that would be great. Okay? The idea of the Rock of Ages. You know, Israel would never use the name of God at all. They would never use His name because to them it is too sacred to use. In the constitution of Israel, God's name was used anyway. How did they call God's name? The Rock. And I'm serious. The name of God was there. His call, sometimes it's just simply called Hashem, the name. Okay? You take an aeroplane there, Haaretz, the land. and here is the rock. And this is quite common usage of amongst Jews to describe God. They will not use a name personally. And so we have a beautiful hymn to end our worship with, where the Lord is called the Rock of Ages. A very, very favorite imagery used by the psalmist to describe God as a rock. But let's rise as we sing together this beautiful hymn. Page 1450, Rock of Ages, clap for me. Let's remain standing as we ask God to bless us. And now may this great and wonderful love of God surround our hearts, enabling us to understand that it was out of pure love, deep love, that Christmas was first planned and Jesus was set aside to fulfill his role as Emmanuel. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose name we bless, that same grace be given to us, enabling us to come alive to understanding what Christmas is all about and the joy of it all. May truly the Spirit of God empower us, open our understanding, open our eyes to see that which is so often hidden from us, to understand that we have a part in this great prophetic plan of God, enabling us to share with others our faith and our joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, now and forever. Amen.